You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we've returned here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we've returned here. It is a Friday episode, another Purple Friday episode. On Friday, July 23rd, that means that we are just 5 days away from the Ravens' first actual full training camp practice, full team training camp practice. And, you know, I know we've been talking, we've been waiting, you know, we've been going through every single thing we can possibly go through here. And now we are starting to finally, at least me personally, I'm starting to feel a little bit of football in the air. The Ravens will kick off their preseason in a matter of weeks here. They first play the New Orleans Saints on August 14th. So we're getting closer and closer, just as I've been saying and trying to hammer home for the whole offseason here. And we're close. We haven't seen Ravens football since January, and we're going to see it again soon. But here today, we're going to be continuing our 2021 Ravens schedule preview. We've been doing it here every Monday and Friday for the last couple of Monday and Friday episodes. We've gone through weeks 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, and 6, 7, 8, and 9. But now we're going to get into weeks 10, 11, and 12. And just a little preview, week 10 is against the Miami Dolphins, week 11 is the Chicago Bears, and week 12 is the Cleveland Browns. So, three games, three segments. We'll talk about the Dolphins game in the first segment, the Bears game in the second segment, and finally, I like to call this part of the schedule the gauntlet, weeks 12 through 18. We're going to get into week 12 in the final segment. So let's jump right into it here. But be sure to follow us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere there's a podcast, we are there. Our content comes out Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. And also be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Ravens is the show account. And at ChaosShaker34 is my personal account where I put out Ravens news, updates, analysis, and as games start to come back, live game tweets and game analysis, takeaways, and much, much more. So let's dive into it. Let's start off here with the Miami Dolphins. They are going to be hosting the Baltimore Ravens at Hard Rock Stadium on a Thursday night football matchup on 11-11. That'll be at 8:20 p.m. Eastern Time. It'll be on NFL Network as well as Amazon. So it's not just NFL Network. It'll also be available on Amazon. But the Dolphins are a team that are going to be relying on a young quarterback, much like the Ravens. But Lamar Jackson has proven himself at the NFL level, whereas Tua Tagovailoa, the second-year guy out of Alabama, had an up-and-down year for the Dolphins in 2020, ended up completing 64.1% of his passes, threw for 1,814 yards in 10 games, 6.3 yards average there. He averaged 192.3 passing yards per game, had 11 touchdowns compared to 5 interceptions, also on the ground, had 36 carries for 109 yards, so not very impressive there on the ground, only 3 yards per carry. But he did have 3 touchdowns on the ground, so, you know, scored a couple times. But this is going to be a very reliant season on if Tua Tagovailoa can take that leap for the Miami Dolphins. And him going up against this Ravens defense, that's a tough ask in my opinion. I flipped on this game quite a bit, whether the Ravens are going to win, whether the Ravens are going to lose. And the main reason I'm kind of on the fence about how this Ravens team is going to do is because of the Miami defense. I think that the Ravens relatively can stop Tua Tagovailoa, especially as I've talked about before, the Ravens have had a recent history at least of being able to stop or at least slow down and really put pressure on rookie quarterbacks, second-year quarterbacks, third-year guys, the younger quarterbacks. You know, all the Ravens moving around, they do with the line, they bring everybody up and they bring everyone one play and they only bring three the next play and you see five guys drop back into coverage. And you know, they're so good at getting out of those. You know, as soon as the ball is snapped, the Ravens defenders, they know what they're doing. You know, they know where their assignments are. There's no confusion. But for quarterbacks, opposing quarterbacks, that causes a bit of confusion. So the defense for Miami was a great, great unit for them in 2020. Their secondary, I think, is one of the best secondaries in the NFL. They added Javon Holland to that group in the 2021 NFL draft, the safety out of Oregon, who did not play in 2020. In college, but Xavien Howard, is he going to be someone who ends up getting traded? He's had a bit of a dispute. He's not happy with his contract right now, so we'll see how that situation plays out. Byron Jones signed a big money deal there. The Dolphins have a lot of guys who contribute on the defensive side of the ball. Now, they did lose a few guys. Kyle Van Noy going back to the New England Patriots. Bobby McCain going to the Washington football team. But overall, you know, not a ton of losses on the defensive side of the ball that are going to make you say, oh man, this defense is in trouble. They still have most of the guys from their 2020 team. Jerome Baker led this team in tackles with 112. He is a pretty consistent middle linebacker. Had 7 sacks for the Dolphins as an inside linebacker. He was their second leading sack guy. Emmanuel Ogba, former Cleveland Brown, a guy who I liked a lot, ended up having 9 for them. They have a bunch of other guys as well. Eric Rowe had 91 total tackles. Brandon Jones came on as a safety for them. They have Zach Seiler, a former Raven there. He ended up having 48 total tackles and 3.5 sacks for the Dolphins in 2020. So a familiar face there, but the Dolphins are very deep on the defense. Now, the Dolphins' defense, you know, the secondary is great, but, you know, yards per play, 5.9 yards per play in 2020. That was tied for 23rd in the entire NFL. So, didn't have a great season in terms of actually having a yards per play average that was, you know, around the average. They were in the bottom half of the league in that category. Yards per attempt rushing the football, something I judge defenses on in terms of actually how they play against the run instead of actual total yards or touchdowns or anything. Tied for 12th with the Los Angeles Chargers with 4.5 yards per attempt allowed. But this is going to be a game where the Ravens are going to have to throw the football well. You know, that secondary, the stats don't pop off of the screen to you. But, you know, there were games where the Dolphins shut down the passing game because of the secondary. And at the end of the day, for me, I think Baltimore will be able to do it. I think, you know, the Dolphins have that great cornerback duo. But at the same time, you know, the yards per attempt and everything that happened with the Dolphins and just how their defense operates, it's going to be a tough game for sure. But I'm not sure that the Dolphins can necessarily stop what the Ravens. I'm not sure any team can stop what they're doing on offense, to be fair. But I'm not sure the Dolphins themselves can stop it, especially, you know, with the rushing offense and then net yards per attempt in terms of passing. The Dolphins, 6.9 net yards there. That was tied for 23rd with the Jets. So again, I think the stats are a bit misleading with this group because sometimes the stats say that a defense is better. Sometimes the stats say that a defense is worse. I think that the Dolphins defense is a bit better than what the stats indicate, but at the same time, the reason I flipped so much was because I see the roster and I see, you know, Xavien Howard and Byron Jones and Javon Holland and Eric Rowe and all these guys, and I say, well, that's a tough group. You know, is Baltimore going to be able to throw the football effectively? But then I look to the stats and I say, they didn't really put it up from a stat perspective. So, you know, I've been flipping on that. The Dolphins receivers, Jalen Waddle is a big addition for them. I think that was huge, honestly. They brought him in to help Tua Tagovailoa, one of Tua's running mates in college. Myles Gaskin out of the University of Washington had a 4.1 yards per carry average. He led the team with 584 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know, it seemed like this Dolphins team wasn't quite ready to make that playoff jump last year, but it seems like they could with another year of everybody. You know, I really, really like Brian Flores as a coach. Devontae Parker was Miami's leading receiver last year with 793 yards. He averaged 12.6 yards per catch. They have guys like Preston Williams and Jakeem Grant who can stretch the field. Preston Williams averaged 16 yards per catch, but only played in 8 games, so he wasn't on the field all that much. Mike Gesicki, a tight end, one of the better ones in the NFL, he had 703 yards, averaged 13.3 yards per catch. So this is a game that I'm ultimately going to give the Ravens the win for. It wasn't a game that I was overly confident in at first, but then again, I saw the defense from Miami and Lamar Jackson, Marquise Brown, you know, the Florida boys. It goes beyond those two, but the Florida boys are going home to play. I'm sure that they'll have family and friends there. Not that they don't in Baltimore, but it'll be a fun game for them to go back to Florida and play in that environment. So I think this is going to be a win. I think it will be a close game, though. I've been flip-flopping on it. I do believe Baltimore wins this game. I know I've only predicted the Ravens to have one loss so far, but as the season begins to get tougher, these are the games that the Ravens have to win early. You know, get off to a one-loss start or a two-loss start to be able to give up a couple of games later in the year, and you know they don't have to give up those games, but in the event that they do, it will help them in their run to the playoffs. So I think that the Ravens defense will be able to stifle Tua Tagovailoa. I think that the Ravens offense will be able to get past that daunting Miami secondary and a couple of good pass rushers in there as well, but I think it will be a close game, but Baltimore comes out on top, moving their record to 8-1. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be taking a look at the Ravens Week 11 game against the Chicago Bears. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be back soon. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors, including coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, salted caramel, orange, and German chocolate? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that mint brownie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And we've returned with our second segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher is still here with you. And now we're going to be getting into the Ravens Week 11 matchup with the Chicago Bears. This is an away game. The Ravens are going to have to travel to Soldier Field to take on the Chicago Bears team. And I think the biggest question when it comes to this game is who is going to be the starting quarterback in the Chicago Bears offense? Because what you have, I think Chicago is one of the deeper quarterback rooms in the NFL. They have Andy Dalton, who they signed from Dallas. They have Nick Foles, who has been there. And now they have Justin Fields. And, you know, Matt Nagy, the head coach for Chicago, has said that, hey, look, you know, Andy Dalton is our week one guy. You know, regardless of Justin Fields, Andy Dalton is the guy who is our starter. But for how long? For how long is that the case? Because for a guy as talented as Justin Fields, you know, he is the future for sure in Chicago. But with the Ravens playing them in Week 11, you know, it's much more likely that Fields has taken over the reins for the Chicago offense as opposed to if they were playing in Week 4 or Week 5. And so that's where I can potentially, I mean, if I'm predicting, I think it's going to be Justin Fields. But you know, maybe we'll see a change for them in Week 8 or Week 9 or Week 10. But it goes back to what I was saying about Tua Tagovailoa in the first segment. The Ravens defense gives opposing young quarterbacks trouble, especially rookies. Again, we saw what the Ravens did with Joe Burrow. And to be fair, the Chicago offensive line is better than whatever Cincinnati put out there in 2020 against Baltimore. I don't think a lot could be worse than what Cincinnati put out there against Baltimore in 2020, against anybody in 2020. But the Bears have a bit of an interesting situation because in terms of their offensive statistics, you know, I'm not going to get too much into this because this was primarily with, you know, a Foles and Trubisky-led offense. These were not with Fields or Dalton at the helm, so we don't know a ton of what the Bears are going to be able to do in 2021 compared to 2020. But, I mean, looking at the yards per attempt in rushing yards, it was 4.2 for Chicago, which was tied for 19th. Also, Dallas, Carolina, Las Vegas in there as well. So, that overall wasn't great. And the Bears didn't make a ton of additions to their team. They actually lost Kyle Fuller, one of their best cornerbacks. In fact, their best cornerback, they lost him to the Denver Broncos. You know, the salary didn't work out for them. They didn't really add a lot, to be honest. They brought in Angelo Blackson, a defensive end from the Arizona Cardinals, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals. They brought in Marquise Goodwin, a speedster from the San Francisco 49ers. Christian Jones, a linebacker from Detroit. Damir Byrd from the Patriots. But again, not really a ton added. And, you know, also Desmond Trufant in there, probably a guy who's going to help replace Kyle Fuller in the secondary. You know, the big addition was Justin Fields, and I think that's a great one for them. And also Tevin Jenkins, who I know some had linked to the Ravens, and many wanted the Ravens to pick at pick 31, but some injury concerns, I think, had him slip a bit. And the Bears take that quarterback-tackle duo that hopefully, for them at least, will be able to carry them for years to come at two really premium positions. So, you know, David Montgomery last year, 1,000-yard rusher, averaged 4.3 yards per carry behind that offensive line. Allen Robinson, and oh man, I'm sure saying Allen Robinson's name hurts because so many Ravens fans, so many, wanted him on the Ravens. And look, I thought he would be a great fit too, but the Bears end up franchise tagging him. He had 102 receptions for 1,250 yards and 6 scores last year. So that'll be probably Marlon Humphrey's primary matchup. Darnell Mooney had 631 yards and 4 scores for this team. You know, but really, it was the Allen Robinson show in terms of pass catching. It was him with 1,250 yards, Darnell Mooney with 631, and then it was Anthony Miller, 485, Jimmy Graham, 456, Montgomery, 438, Cole Kmet, 243. They lost Cordell Patterson, who for them was a good guy in the special teams department, as well as contributing a bit in both rushing and receiving. He was actually their second leading rusher, Cordell Patterson, with 232 yards on 64 carries, only 3.6 yards per carry, but regardless, you know, this offense is primarily David Montgomery and Allen Robinson. They have other guys, but the Ravens, I think, are too talented on defense to give up to the Bears a ton of points. You know, this will probably be a game where if the Ravens get out to an early lead, the Bears could have trouble getting back into it, especially when the Ravens can just send safety help to Allen Robinson and make other guys beat them, because that's what you want to do with Chicago, primarily, right? You know Allen Robinson's most likely going to be the best player on the field skill position-wise, David Montgomery a bit below him. If you want to send the safety help over, if you want to send a linebacker shading over to his side of the field, right, that's okay, because that makes guys like Mooney and others beat you. You know, Marquise Goodwin, those are the guys who, you know, you want beating you. You don't want Allen Robinson beating you, because you know that he's going to make some plays and he's going to do this. So I think that Humphrey's going to be on him for the majority of the game. And then we'll see what happens. In terms of Chicago's defense, though, the defense has some playmakers on it. Khalil Mack, obviously the big guy there. Roquan Smith led the team in tackles, though, with 139. Smith and Danny Trevathan, I think one of the better inside linebacker duos in the NFL. And for the record, I loved Roquan Smith coming out of Georgia. I wanted the Ravens to draft him. I think he would have been a perfect fit, but went a bit earlier than the Ravens had in that draft. You know, they didn't have the luxury to trade up in that draft, you know, to the level where the Chicago Bears. I think Roquan Smith was the 8th overall pick. So, yeah, not a ton of room there. Eddie Jackson, one of the better safeties in the NFL. One of the best, actually. Let me revise that. Khalil Mack, again, 9 sacks for the Bears. He was their sack leader. The Bears also losing Brent Urban, who had 2.5 sacks. Again, former Raven alert there. But at the end of the day, you know, the defense to me, outside of Smith, Trevathan, Jackson, and Khalil Mack, you know, not a ton of production. I mean, Robert Quinn was supposed to come in and be a huge addition for them. He only had 20 tackles in 15 games with 2 sacks. And that was after signing a big, big money contract. You know, Jalen Johnson, a corner who they took last year, had 44 total tackles. You know, 15 passes defended, by far the most on the team. So he was a guy who played really well for them, but again, the Ravens now with Rashad Bateman and Sammy Watkins to compliment Marquise Brown, and with Kyle Fuller no longer being in Chicago, I don't know. This defense actually was in the top half of the league in yards per play allowed with 5.4. They were tied for 10th in that regard. But in terms of actual interceptions, the Bears only had 10 of them, and Kyle Fuller had 1, so didn't really contribute in that department a ton, but that was tied for 23rd, the Baltimore Ravens also in that category. So the Ravens have to get a couple more interceptions this year. That's something I think they should improve upon. But, you know, top half-ish of the league in terms of net yards per pass attempt. Tied for 16th with 6.4. But then you get to the rushing, and that was a strong suit for this team on defense. 4.1 yards per attempt allowed. That ended up being 8th in the NFL, and that was 4.1 yards per carry. Akeem Hicks is going to be a big player in that role for the Bears in 2021. He's going to come out and I think be a really good player for them. So the Bears have some talent, but I think, again, whether it's Dalton, whether it's Fields, I think the Ravens' defense is too much for that Bears offense. And then on defense with the loss of Fuller and with me personally expecting the Ravens to throw the ball a bit better and a bit more than they did in 2020, I think this is shaping up to another Ravens victory. So again, only one loss for me so far. I know some people are probably saying, oh my God, this guy's so optimistic. And look, I am optimistic about the early portion of this schedule, but you're going to have to stay tuned to see if I share that same optimism in the gauntlet, as I call it, week 12 through week 18. So the Ravens, they pick up this win against the Chicago Bears. I think this moves their record to now 9-1. and they are going to next play against the Cleveland Browns at home in week 12. So we'll head into our final break, and when we get back, we'll be diving into that game, that divisional matchup, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be back soon. And we return here with our final segment of this Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you, and now we're going to dive into the Ravens week 12 matchup against the Cleveland Browns, where they are going to have a tough rest of the season schedule. This is where I, again, call the gauntlet. It's weeks 12 through 18. Five of their last seven opponents are division rivals. Two against Cleveland, two against Pittsburgh, one against Cincinnati. And the two who are not division opponents are the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams. So, you know, getting all those wins, stacking all those wins early are going to help the team if they do maybe slip a bit because of how difficult their schedule does get. Not that they will, but in the event that they do lose a couple more games instead of having seven losses because they lost three games, they might have four losses or three losses or something like that. So getting into this Cleveland Browns game, it is a home game. It's going to be played at M&T Bank Stadium, but it does begin the weird, you know, 1-2-1 thing where the Ravens will have this Cleveland game in week 12, then they have to go to Pittsburgh and play in week 13, and then they have to go to Cleveland in week 14 and play the Browns. And so, you know, usually on a regular schedule for both teams who have, you know, one game opponent, then another game against that team, it's not that big of a deal. But for the Browns, they have Baltimore by Baltimore. So they travel to Baltimore, they have a bye in week 13, then they play Baltimore at home. So as Jeff Lloyd and I talked about on yesterday's show, we did a bit of a Browns-Ravens crossover there. It's going to be tough for either team to, I think, win both games. And the way the schedule is just, you know, put together this year, I think that the Ravens are going to win week 12 and they're going to lose week 14. We'll talk a little bit about why that's the case here and also on Monday when we do weeks 13, 14, and 15. But at the end of the day, you know, Baltimore and Cleveland are probably going to be the two teams that are going to be vying for the AFC North title. I don't think Pittsburgh is going to be in it this year. They have talent on defense, but how's the offense going to be? Is Ben Roethlisberger going to be able to carry them? I don't think so. Cincinnati, I think they're still a couple years away. Not to say that they're not going to be improved this season, but, you know, not a team that I'm overly threatened by if I'm the Ravens. But Cleveland, on the other hand, I personally love what Andrew Berry has done this offseason, and I liked what he did the previous offseason as well. The Browns adding a lot of talent to their team. The secondary was arguably the weakest point of this Browns defense by far. You know, overall, the Browns were in the middle of the pack in terms of overall defense, in terms of yards per play, averaging 5.5 yards per play given up. That was tied for 12th in the league alongside Buffalo, Green Bay, Los Angeles Chargers, Philadelphia, and Seattle. Passing offense, you know, more in the middle there. Also, you know, 14th, that was tied with the Chicago Bears, the Indianapolis Colts, the Kansas City Chiefs. But they ended up giving up spot plays and spot games where, again, I talked about it in the first segment with Miami. Some stats make defenses look better. Other stats make defenses look worse. I think some of the stats made this Browns defense look a little better than they were. They were giving up a lot of points, to be honest. And, you know, points aren't a huge indicator. There are some indicator because sometimes, you know, teams will drive down the field, but other times the offense gives the ball back to the defense, and the opposing offense starts the ball at the 1 yard line. And, you know, it's 1 yard, 6 or 7 points. So I don't judge a ton based off of points. I do tend to go with averages a bit more. But the secondary, a weak part for this Browns team. They were relying on guys like Andrew Sendejo and you know, getting down on their cornerback depth like the Ravens were. What do? They bring in John Johnson, one of the better safeties in the NFL. 3-year, $33 million deal. Most consider that a steal for John Johnson. Troy Hill, 2 years, $9 million. Jadeveon Clowney, 1 year, $8 million. You know, they're adding some pieces here. Malik Jackson coming in from the Philadelphia Eagles, 1 year, $3 million. They brought in some guys, and honestly, I liked what they did. They did lose a couple of pieces. Larry Ogunjobi going from Cleveland to Cincinnati. Tavier Thomas going from Cleveland to Houston. Sheldon Richardson, I honestly think Sheldon Richardson is a pretty big loss for them. going to Minnesota, 1 year, $3.6 million. Terrence Mitchell going from Cleveland to Houston, 2 years, $6.5 million. So they did lose a couple pieces, but they added, I think, better pieces. They re-signed Malcolm Smith. Carl Joseph also left them, going back to Las Vegas, where he started his career. But I'm not overly, you know, if I'm the Brownsman, I'm not overly concerned about most of the players who left. I think Sheldon Richardson and Larry Ogunjobi are the two. Adding Malik Jackson is great. They also, not even to mention their draft, brought in Greg Newsome as a corner and brought in Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah as a linebacker. So those two, again, very impressive additions. They're also getting Odell Beckham Jr. back. Now, it still remains to be seen whether the Browns are better or worse with Odell Beckham Jr. on the field. So far, the answer, shockingly, is worse. It seems like Baker Mayfield tries to force the ball to Odell when he's on the field. And, you know, look, Odell Beckham is a generational talent, phenomenal football player, but it seems like the Browns play more team ball when he's not on the field, and that, in turn, I think, helps this Browns team be better. Now, maybe Baker Mayfield will be better with Odell on the field this year. It's his fourth season, like Lamar Jackson, and we'll see if that translates to more success with Odell on the field. But with Jarvis Landry, with Rashard Higgins, who I think is a very underrated receiver, really wanted the Ravens to get him this offseason, I think this offense will be good. Obviously, also Nick Chubb, I mean, 1,000-yard rusher, averaged 5.6 yards per carry. And then his counterpart in that backfield, Kareem Hunt, with 4.2 yards per carry. The two combined for 18 touchdowns on the ground. So, look, the Browns are stacked, I think, in almost every position. The defensive line losses hurt, and when you're going up against that Baltimore defense, it seemed like Sheldon Richardson really caused an impact, really wreaked some havoc in those Baltimore games. So look, as a guy who covers the Ravens, I'm happy he's not on the Browns anymore, although the Ravens will have to face him in Minnesota a couple weeks prior to this game. But I think the Ravens do win this game because there's so much of it on both sides. The Browns struggled to stop the Ravens, while the new additions on defense, I think, will help. The Ravens also got additions of their own. The offensive line is a lot better than what Cleveland saw in Week 14. The wide receiver room is a lot better and a lot deeper than it was in Week 14. And the Ravens still in that game put up over 40 points. So because of that, because I think Patrick Queen is going to have a better year, I think Deshaun Elliott is going to have a better year. The pass rush, sure, you know, that is a question. But the Browns have a couple questions of their own, I think, especially on the interior of that defensive line. So we'll see how it all works out for them. You know, inside linebacker, also a bit of a concern for them. Is Mac Wilson that guy? Can Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah be someone for them who does a lot? B.J. Goodson, the Browns' leading tackler, is currently a free agent. So they have a couple of issues. So do the Ravens. I think both teams stack up very well with each other. So this is a game I think Baltimore wins. This will be a close game. You know, the Ravens will have the home field advantage. Then in Week 14, Cleveland will have the home field advantage. Full fans in the stadium, hopefully across the NFL. Divisional matchup, intense game. This is where the games get good. The Browns-Ravens Week 1 game, great game for the Ravens. Not a great game for NFL TV because, you know, the Ravens blew them out. So Ravens fans, or, you know, people who were covering the Ravens were loving it. You know, the Ravens were scoring every possession pretty much, and the Browns couldn't do anything. But Week 14, one of the all-time classic games, I think we'll get one of those games here. At least one of the 2 weeks. Honestly, it'll probably be Week 14. You know, maybe that Week 14 Ravens-Browns thing is something that the NFL needs to do every single year because it'll be so good. But we'll talk about that game more in our next episode on Monday, so be sure to tune in for that. But yeah, this is a win for Baltimore in my book, moving the Ravens to 10-1 through 12 weeks. And, you know, this is the gauntlet. It's the start of the gauntlet here, Week 12. We'll discuss whether I think the Ravens will continue their success or whether they'll fall off a bit heading into the playoffs. But right now, the Ravens off to a strong start so far with this 2021 season preview, but that's all that I have for you today. We're going to take a two-day break here, but when we get back on Monday, we'll be diving into weeks 13, 14, and 15. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.